Hello there. Welcome to James Gordon, Song and Rants Man, a podcast featuring, not surprisingly, me, James Gordon. For this, episode 2, we're talking about climate change. The songs and rants are drawn from a one-man show that I toured with for a couple of years before you know what happened, called James Gordon's Emergency Climate Musical. And I'm going to start with a question that I think we need to be asking ourselves. This question comes from Martin Keogh in his book, Hope Beneath Our Feet. And the question is, if our world is facing an imminent environmental catastrophe, how do I live my life right now?
We're staring a hurricane in the eye. Temperatures and tempers are running high. Banks and wells are running dry. How do we live our lives? Do we just take the money and run? Move to the country, buy a gun. Wait for the day of judgment to come. How do we live our lives? If it's all coming down, tell me how do we live our lives now? Do we go after the consumerists, the ones who got us into this? Show them another way exists. How do we live our lives? Do we try to keep our footprint small? Could we make a farm out of that mall? Is there anything we can do at all? How do we live our lives? If it's all coming. Organic, how do we live our lives? Do we confront the climate change deniers? Quit preaching only to the choir. Crank it up just a little bit higher. How do we live our lives? If it's all coming down, till we run right out of gas. Do we go out in a last plastic flask? How do we live our lives? If it's all coming down, tell me how do we
How? Yes, that's really the essential question of these uncertain times. Until we can answer it, we need, in my humble opinion, more tools, more learning, real leadership, and a system in place that supports us in that common search that helps to create the conditions for facing, individually and as a species, an ecological and economic catastrophe, the scale of which we've never known before. We obviously can't continue to live as we do now, so today, I want to share with you some thoughts about where we are, how we got there, and what we can do to move forward. One important aspect to me of this conversation I want to have with you now is something I hear all the time as an elected official. As well as being a huge international rock star, I'm a humble city councillor in one of the last truly hippie enclaves in Canada, Guelph, Ontario. I hear people looking at the challenges ahead and saying, but our lifestyle will be ruined. We'll be living in caves. I'd like to suggest that we can use this crisis and even the COVID crisis as an opportunity to have better, more rewarding, and more meaningful lives. So we better get started. Well, what's the rush? Well, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says, there is only a dozen years left for global warming to be kept to a maximum of 1.5 degrees Celsius, beyond which even half a degree will significantly worsen the risks of drought, floods, extreme heat, and poverty for hundreds of millions of people. So guess what? They said that a few years ago. So just to be generous, let's call it 10 years left, though I personally fear it's much less than that.
The point of no return, but we close our eyes as forests burn, as oceans rise. We never learn, never realize that there's 10 years left, right? But we still stay in denial. We all say we've still got a while to maintain our precious lifestyle, but there's 10 years left, right? 10 years left, 10 years right. Marching towards the end of life as we know it. Unless we can show that we can turn this ship around real fast. Work together or we won't last to see our children grow. Just one last chance to blow. 10 years left to get this right. The doomsday clock is winding down. Tick tock, it's getting loud. But all the talk around the town is that there's 10 years left, right? So we still lay pipes and spew our fumes. Billionaires gripe from their boardrooms. They say it's just hype, that we're all doomed. But there's 10 years left, right? 10 years left, 10 years right. Marching towards the end of life as we know it. Unless we can show can turn this ship around real fast. Work together or we won't last to see our children grow. There's just one last chance to blow. 10 years left to get this right. Long as the sun comes up in the morning, seem to dream that we're okay. Long as we ignore the warnings, this will not go on. this will not go away.
Ten years left. Now here's a quote from Greta Thunberg you have probably heard. She says, "I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic and act as if the house was on fire." So Greta, I agree, and yet I don't think we'll act if we think it's too late and there is no point. So let's assume that the house is on fire, and if we act together now, we can put that fire out. I've often thought that we won't really do anything about climate change until we are all knee-deep in water. In other words, if we can see the problem right in our own backyards. Unfortunately, it's in more and more backyards every day. The water is rising, but we're still not doing what we need to be doing about it. So here is Water is Rising. The winters are colder, and the summer's too warm. Seems like every season we get a 100-year storm. Water is rising. Water is rising. The fishery's gone, and the tourists are too. We had to sell the store. What else could we do? Water is rising. Water is rising. They tell us not to worry. Things like this happen, and it'll be better next year. But they said that about the buffalo. I think we've heard enough to know that the good old days, they're not coming back round here. My brother in Vicksburg says the fields are too wet. They won't get off a crop, but you know who says it ain't bad yet. Water is rising. Water is rising. And out on the coast, they got wildfires and drought. How can anybody say that they still have their doubt? Water is rising. Water is rising. They tell us not to worry. Things like this happen, and it'll be better next year. But they said that about the buffalo. I think we've heard enough to know that the good old days, they're not coming back round here. Over in Africa, they're getting it the worst. Why does it always seem that the poor folks get it first? Water is rising. Water is rising. So, can we agree that we need a massive systemic political and economic shift to face those rising waters? We hear all the time that the system is broken. We must fix it. I'm here, unfortunately, to tell you that I disagree with that.
Well, it wasn't made for you.
Wasn't made for you.
It wasn't made for me.
Wasn't made for me.
It was made for who?
Made for who?
Is at the top of the heap. Well, now listen to me.
Listen.
When I say the system isn't broken, it was made that way. The system isn't broken, it was made that way. Well, now it isn't fair. It's not supposed to be.
Not supposed to be.
'Cause they don't care.
They don't care.
And can't you see? Well, now listen to me.
Listen.
When I say the system isn't broken, it was made that way. The system isn't broken, it was made that way. Well, you think our social fabric has been torn. It was ripped right from the start. From that sorry day that you were born. It was meant to keep us and them apart. The system isn't wrecked.
Isn't wrecked.
'Cause it was meant.
It was meant.
To protect.
To protect.
The 1%. Well, now listen to me.
Listen.
When I say the system isn't broken, it was made that way. The system isn't broken, it was made that way.
System isn't broken, it was made that way.
The system isn't broken, it was made that way. Well, it was built to last.
Built to last.
By the upper class.
By the upper class.
Built on greed.
Built on greed.
Not democracy.
Not democracy.
It wasn't made for you.
Wasn't made for you.
And it wasn't made for me.
Wasn't made for me.
It wasn't made for you.
Wasn't
It wasn't even made for me.
It wasn't made for me.
It wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't made.
It wasn't made.
It wasn't made.
It wasn't made
for you. It wasn't made for me. It wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't made for you.
So what is this system that was made to screw you over? You might not want to hear this, but basically capitalism is driving the climate agenda. Capitalism's bastard child, consumerism, has overwhelmed the planet's capacity to manage that obscene consumption. Another UN report comments on the tragic irony of climate change. They say, those who caused it least, namely the poor, will suffer far more than those who profited more. The poorest half of the world's population accounts for just 10% of carbon emissions, while the wealthiest 10% accounts for half, and developing countries will bear 80% of the costs of this unfolding disaster. Climate chaos is an assault on the poor, and fixing that chaos will require fixing inequality at the same time. The system that's in place has created a climate apartheid. That's why this is a social justice issue and an environmental issue. And by the way, there are similar stats on who is most affected by COVID. More on that later. And who is driving and benefiting from this extreme capitalism that puts profit first before the planet's welfare? Hint, it's not you.
Is it too much to ask that when it's time to go to bed, that there's a meal in your belly and a roof over your head? Is it too much to expect that in the morning when you rise, that the sun shining down finds some hope in your eyes? This country is rich, we know this to be true, but that wealth is in the hands of the fortunate few. So there's a new conversation in the Global Cafe. Let's all sit down together and find a better way. Find a better way. Is it too much to ask for a job with a wage that gives you a chance when you reach your old age? Is it too much to wish for a system that's fair, that shows a little compassion and a willingness to share? This country is rich, we know this to be true, but that wealth is in the hands of the fortunate few. So there's a new conversation in the Global Cafe. Let's all sit down together and find a better way. Find a better way. Those few be rewarded for their selfish greed, while the rest of us struggle for basic human dignity? That's the question before us. Now is our time to let our voices be heard. We're the 99. This country is rich, we know this to be true, but that wealth is in the hands of the fortunate few. So there's a new conversation in the Global Cafe. Let's all sit down together and find a better way. Find a better way.
So, how come we don't just get rid of that 1%? Because that 1% has a plan, and so far, it's working. The plan is to keep us too stupid to notice we're being screwed.
Keep them stupid if they're uneducated. It's easier to keep them subjugated. Keep them all in ignorant bliss. They won't see we're headed for the abyss. Keep them stupid, stupid. Then they won't see that there's a climate change emergency. Keep their IQ low. Then they'll believe that it's just an elitist conspiracy. Give them religion so they don't murder the rich. We need a lower class who will still dig a ditch. Tell them you'll give them a buck of beer, and they won't care if it's hot around here. Keep them stupid, stupid, then they won't see that there's a climate change emergency. Keep their IQ low, then they'll believe that it's it's an elitist conspiracy. If they start talking about renewable resources, cancel all those research courses. If a study shows that the Earth's at risk, time to fire another scientist. Make it harder for them to go to college. Nothing good comes from all that knowledge. Tell them that the money's gonna trickle down. Tell them that the water is supposed to be brown. Better to keep them in the dark. Make sure they're getting lower marks. Cut funding to the universities, the public schools and nurseries. Then you raise a generation that doesn't have the education to get the kind of critical thinking that lets them see the poison they're drinking. Look out, here comes an actual journalist. Be afraid, run away. They might speak the truth, they might influence youth. Who knows what they might say? They might notice that we've made a mess. Keep them stupid, stupid, then they won't see that there's a climate change emergency. Keep their IQ low, then they'll believe that it's an elitist conspiracy. Don't wanna get quizzical, quizzical. Don't wanna get quizzical, quizzical. Let's not get into quizzical.
And how do our governments perpetuate the keep them stupid theory? Education cuts. Even in a pandemic, Doug Ford here in Ontario and in a lot of places in the United States, Alberta, all over, they're succeeding quite a bit. So if they keep us stupid, we won't notice that those guys are quietly taking away the one thing that could help us get the kind of leadership we need to meet our coming challenge. And what's that, folks? Democracy. It seems like the same folks who are trying to undermine our education are succeeding alarmingly at undermining democracy as well. Democracy, like truth, is under assault, and the corporatocracy that is taking over thinks that addressing climate change is not helpful to their shareholders. They are so wrong about that. The more they undermine the democratic process, the more our leaders become puppets of that corporate cabal.
Maybe we are dicks, maybe we
So who exactly does control the strings of our puppet leaders? I'm afraid to say that despite the massive evidence that it's no longer sustainable, we're still being driven and controlled by big oil. So we see the danger all around us. The evidence is clear, but we choose to ignore it if it doesn't fit our narrative. Maxime Bernier, the hopefully soon forgotten leader of the climate-denying People's Party of Canada, once said, "There is no climate emergency, no reason to panic or be anxious, no consensus supporting climate alarmism." This has become a tenet of the Conservative Party of Canada too, quite recently, and of course, very pervasive in the Republican Party in the United States. They're playing to a surprisingly large sector that really, really wants this to be true. And as a politician myself, I see how popular that big lie can be. We just want things to be normal.
Things were pretty good before they got a lot worse. Before the ice cap melted and the pipeline burst. When there was still enough water to quench our thirst in the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil. Summer's warm and dry, winter's mild too. We enjoyed it while it lasted. What else could we do? We could see what was coming, but it didn't seem true. In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil. Nobody saw the coming storm all over town. Things look kinda normal. Tommy's taking Tammy to the formal in the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil. In a rented limo, they cruised down Main. Past the boarded up stores, things look pretty much the same. Tammy hears the thunder, but it never rains. In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil. People still went to work every day. At least the ones who still had jobs, anyway. You could look around and think that things were okay in the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil. In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days.
In the dying days of the Empire of Oil.
Here's a quote from Joanna Macy. Nothing looks more invincible than a civilization on the eve of its collapse. Not everyone is putting those blinders on, though. There's a new generation that is helping to create cracks in the system. And it's that generation and the new initiatives that we've been seeing lately that are the topic of the second part of our climate episode. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. All the commentary and all the songs were written by me, performed by me, with the help of some of the best musicians a feller could ever ask for. This is a new venture for me. I'd like to hear your comments and suggestions for future topics to explore with this combo of music and commentary. It's tough out there these days. If you have found value in what I've offered, I'd be grateful if you'd consider supporting the work I do with an e-transfer or PayPal contribution to james@jamesgordon.ca. That's how you can contact me too, and I'd love to hear from you. Please visit jamesgordon.ca, my website, for info about how to purchase my albums and books. See you next time around on James Gordon, Song and Rants Man.